Okay, so I think we can all relate to this, right? That feeling of trying to find childcare.
Oh, definitely. It's like walking a tightrope.
Exactly. You need it to be affordable, you need it to actually be available, and you really need to trust the quality of care.
It's this constant pull, these three things,
Yeah.
like a trilemma, you could say.
Yeah, the childcare trilemma, that's a good way to put it. And today we're kind of digging into the rules behind it all.
Right. How do we get the regulations right? Because that's at the heart of balancing cost, access, and quality.
We looked at some really interesting material. You shared Richard Feen's work on regulatory science, some history. It really got us thinking.
Yeah, and for anyone listening who's wondered about this stuff, why it's so complicated, that's exactly what we're exploring.
Because there's so much talk now about deregulation maybe being the answer to access issues, but then how do you make sure kids are still safe, that the quality is there?
Exactly. So the mission today, I think, is to explore solutions that are, based on research, based on data, not just politics.
Let's see if we can find a path grounded in evidence.
And it's important to remember, this isn't some brand new debate.
No, not at all. You pointed out that even back in the 1970s.
Yeah, with the FIDCR, the Federal Interagency Daycare Requirements, there were huge discussions then about finding this exact same balance.
It really shows how long we've been grappling with this. Context is important.
It really is. It helps understand why it feels so stuck sometimes.
Which leads us to maybe a different way of thinking about it. This idea that came up in the horses, regulatory science.
Right, regulatory science. It sounds a bit formal, maybe.
A little academic, yeah.
Yeah.
But what does it actually mean in practice?
Well, at its core, it's about using data, using evidence to figure out what regulations actually work.
So moving away from just gut feelings or political arguments.
Exactly. Instead of just saying we need more rules or we need fewer rules, it asks, okay, what does the research show? What actually makes a difference for kids' health and safety?
Okay, that makes sense. Like looking at the real world impact.
Yeah. Think about, say, rules for hand washing in a center. Regulatory science wouldn't just guess. It would look at data on illness rates, hygiene practices.
And see what actually reduces the spread of germs.
Precisely. It's about evidence-based rulemaking.
And that connects to another really interesting idea from the research, specifically from Feen, the theory of substantial compliance.
Yes, substantial compliance. Now, this one might sound a bit counterintuitive at first.
Come on.
The idea is that maybe, just maybe, being in substantial compliance with the really critical rules, the key ones, might be just as effective as being 100% compliant with every single rule on a very long list.
Okay, wait. So not necessarily ticking every single box, but making sure the most important boxes are always ticked.
Kinda, yeah. If we can identify those truly crucial regulations, the ones that are strong indicators of overall quality and
Yeah,
safety.
then we could maybe focus our monitoring efforts.
Exactly. That's the idea behind differential monitoring. It's a more targeted risk-based approach. We put the resources where the evidence suggests the biggest risks lie.
Focusing on the things that matter most for kids' well-being.
Right. It's about efficiency and effectiveness based on data.
So, how do we figure out what those key rules actually are? Where do we start?
Well, the big reference point in the field is caring for our children. CFOC.
Okay, CFOC, I've heard of that.
It's basically the go-to set of health and safety standards developed over decades by folks like the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Public Health Association.
So, based on research in child development, health.
Exactly. Public health, pediatrics, developmental psych. It's reviewed by lots of experts, and states often use it as a guide for their own licensing
But
rules.
it's comprehensive, right? Like, really comprehensive.
Oh, yeah. The full CFOC has something like over 700 standards.
700. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you can see why some people see it as, the gold standard quality floor, while others might look at 700 plus standards and think maybe that's overregulation.
Absolutely. That's a huge number. And that's where this regulatory science approach comes back in to make it more manageable.
Precisely. Using risk assessment methods, they develop something called stepping stones to caring for our children.
Tipping stones, okay.
And that process essentially distilled those 700 plus standards down, way down, to about 120 key ones.
Okay, 120. That's a big difference
It
already.
really is. It shows you can apply these principles, focus on the biggest risks, the most impactful standards, and create something much more targeted.
It's like finding the core requirements within that massive document.
Exactly. It's a practical application of the theory.
Yeah.
But the process didn't stop there.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah. Building on stepping stones, and using another method from regulatory science, the key indicator rule methodology, they developed Caring for Our Children Basics, CFOCB.
CFOC Basics. And how many standards are in that one?
That gets it down even further to roughly 65 standards.
65. Wow. From over 700 down to 65?
It's a significant distillation, yeah. And the original idea behind CFOCB was interesting, too.
How so?
It was proposed as a voluntary baseline. Like, here are the absolute fundamental health and safety standards that research points to as crucial.
A voluntary starting point. Okay.
And think about how that number 65 versus 700 connects back to that trilemma we started with.
Right. The cost aspect. Fewer, more focused regulations might mean lower operational costs for providers?
Potentially, yes. Mm. The sheer number of rules can definitely impact costs, which then impacts affordability and sometimes even availability. It's all connected.
So streamlining based on evidence could maybe help ease that pressure.
That's the hope, and it raises a really important point for the whole debate.
Which is?
Instead of just calling for, you know, slashing regulations across the board.
Which could be risky.
Right. What if we use something like CFOCB, this evidence-based, risk-assessed set of core standards, as the starting point for discussion?
So not arbitrary cuts, but a focused discussion based on what the data suggests matters most.
Exactly. And you asked earlier what kinds of things are in CFOCB. It's the foundational stuff.
Like what? Give us some examples.
You'll find things like safe sleep practices for infants, clear hand washing protocols, ensuring the playground is safe, basic first aid requirements, medication administration.
Okay, the real non-negotiables for keeping kids safe and healthy.
Pretty much. The things that experts across different fields agree are critical.
And you mentioned experts. Who is involved in developing CFOCB?
Oh, a wide range. You had medical experts, pediatricians, public health folks, early childhood educators, child development specialists, even environmental health experts weighed in.
So a real consensus from different perspectives, that adds a lot of credibility.
Yeah, it really does. It underscores that these aren't just random rules. They're based on a broad understanding of child well-being.
And for listeners wondering how their own state measures up, you mentioned there are tools.
Yeah, Feen and others have developed templates, apparently, to help states compare their current rules against CFOCB to see where the alignment is or isn't.
Interesting. Okay, let's dive deeper into one specific standard that always seems to cause debate.
Let me guess. Staff-child ratios.
You got it. Staff-child ratios and group sizes.
Yes. Always a hot topic.
And for good reason, right. It hits all parts of the trilemma: cost, access, and quality.
Absolutely. Lower ratios generally mean higher costs, which can limit access.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also strongly linked to the quality of interaction between the caregiver and the child.
And it's not a new debate either. As we said earlier, this was big back in the 70s, too.
Mm-hmm. The research on its impact goes way back and continues today. It consistently shows up as important.
But one idea from Feen back in 97, you said, was maybe looking at it differently. Not just the numbers in isolation.
Exactly. He proposed thinking about ratios in connection with staff qualifications.
Okay. How would that work?
Well, the idea was maybe, just maybe,
yeah,
you could allow for slightly higher ratios if the staff in that room had higher qualifications. More education, more specific training.
Mm. So better qualified staff might be able to effectively manage a slightly larger group.
That was the hypothesis.
Yeah.
And the really interesting part of his proposal was what to do with any potential cost savings or extra revenue from that slightly higher ratio.
Where would it go?
Directly back to those more qualified staff.
Mm.
Better salaries, better compensation.
Oh, okay. So it's not just about saving money, but reinvesting in the workforce.
Right. It's thinking outside the standard compliance box. It acknowledges that quality isn't just about the numbers on a page. Mm. It's hugely about the skills and support for the educators themselves.
That's a really different way to frame it, more nuanced.
It is. And it emphasizes a point that runs through all this material.
I'll admit it.
That regulatory compliance, whether it's ratios or hand washing or anything else, is fundamentally a measurement issue.
A measurement issue. Okay.
And measurement issues are best addressed using data.
Yeah.
Using empirical evidence, not just political wins or reacting to the crisis of the moment.
So lean on the data.
Yes. And there are resources for that. The National Association for Regulatory Administration, NRRA, they've done studies on key indicators and using data for licensing. That info's out there.
Good to know. So we should avoid just knee-jerk reactions like deregulate everything.
Yeah.
Because there's a childcare shortage.
Exactly. The sources really argue for focusing on these evidence-based solutions coming out of regulatory science. Find the rules that work.
Okay, so pulling this all together then, the big takeaway seems to be that this regulatory science approach, it offers a path forward.
Yeah, a data-driven one. It helps navigate this incredibly complex world of childcare rules.
It's not about just more rules or fewer rules, but trying to find the right rules.
The ones that actually balance quality, safety, access, and affordability most effectively.
Based on evidence, based on risk assessment, moving from potentially 700 plus standards down to something like 65 core ones in CFOCB, that's a huge shift in thinking.
It really is, focusing resources and attention where they matter most.
Which leaves us with a final thought, maybe something for listeners to mull over.
Okay.
If this idea holds true that substantial compliance with these key research-backed standards like CFOCB can be as effective as 100% compliance with a much bigger set of rules, what do you think are the biggest opportunities and maybe the biggest hurdles to actually making that kind of shift happen in your own state or community?
That's a really good question. What would it take to move toward that more focused evidence-based system? Definitely something worth thinking about.